Would you please be seated? Well, I don't know if you've made your New Year's resolutions or if you're in the habit of making New Year's resolutions, but one I might encourage you in is something that Karen Game is offering, and that's an encouragement to read the entire Bible in the course of a year. And because it's not actually the best book to start at the beginning and try and work way through to the end, Karen's come up with a reading plan. You can get these off her after the service. And she's very happy to discuss with anybody after each service how they're getting on with their reading. So today maybe to find out a good way of doing this and how to get on with it. I mean, have you ever, for instance, sat down and read the book of Leviticus? It might not change your world, but it will give you, along with reading the other parts of the Old Testament, a sense of our inheritance as Christians from the Hebrew Scriptures and what it can mean to us and the story of faith that has developed to the time of Jesus and then, of course, beyond, leading to the faith we gather to celebrate today. I think it's a really good discipline. It does take a bit of effort, but if you break it down, it becomes manageable. So Karen's got these. If you're watching online, there it is. Just have a quick scan down. But I'm sure they'll be available other weeks too, and we can get a copy to you. Our Christmas season has been a rich mixture of stories and experience, a spiritual to secular, folk traditions from way back, mixed up with stories and traditions from the Bible. And somewhere in all that mix of Christmas and now Epiphany, legend and story, come those three wise men from the east riding their camels, bearing their exotic gifts. At least tradition tells us there were three of them, even reveals their names immortalized in the carol We Three Kings of Orient Are, Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior, in case you can't remember. But the Bible doesn't mention a number, let alone any names. They're referred to simply as Magi, the only Farsi word in Scripture. Originally, that word referred to a Persian priestly caste, but it gradually changed over time, as many words do, to refer to those who were regarded as having some kind of supernatural knowledge. So Matthew's Magi might have been astrologers who studied ancient manuscripts from around the world and followed the stars and the symbols they might represent. Maybe they had a copy of the Jewish Scriptures, our Old Testament, because the Jews had been in exile there some 600 years earlier. Maybe they themselves were Jews or descended from Jews who had remained behind in Babylon after the exile and knew something about the predictions in those scriptures associated with the Messiah's coming. Some people believe the Magi were from different lands, representing the whole world gathered together to bow before the Christ child, proclaiming God's news, God's good news, not just to the Jewish people, but to the Gentile world also. Truth is, we don't actually know for certain. But whoever they were people who recognized in Jesus something that transcended their daily experience, something that transcended all that they currently knew and believed. But God was present here in a special way. Now, it was a common ancient belief that a new star appeared at the time of a ruler's birth. There were many such stories in ancient times. But in his story, Matthew draws on the Old Testament. He's a good Jew, is Matthew? And he draws on the stories of the Old Testament to illustrate the stories in his new. There's the Old Testament story of Balaam, who had prophesied that a star shall advance from Jacob. That's the book of Numbers, if you come across that in a couple of months' time. Although, of course, in this circumstance, in this context, the star refers not to an astral phenomenon, but to a king himself. And so the Magi travel from the east, from the empire of Parthia, as it came known Persia, which we'd know it today, Iran. They travel searching for someone who certainly has kingly characteristics. So they go to the capital and the palace, Jerusalem. And when the Magi arrive with what is interpreted as unwelcome news, a potential threat to Herod's autonomy, Herod has this hurried consultation with the chief priests and the scribes. And in that consultation, they recall a Jewish legend about the baby Moses, some 1400 plus years earlier. In this legend, the sacred scribes warn Pharaoh about the imminent birth of one who will deliver Israel from Egypt. And Pharaoh makes plans to destroy this child. It might be that that legend, which isn't a scriptural one, is based on the destruction of the firstborn from the times of Exodus. And those texts which led to the interpretation of the Magi, not as wise men, but as kings. If the Magi were of Jewish descent and came from Parthia, Persia, which next to Rome was the most powerful empire in the region, well, they would have welcomed a Jewish king who had maybe a little bit more credibility than Herod, who was only a little bit Jewish and had been put there by the Romans anyway. A truly Jewish king could swing the balance of power away from Rome. And being far from Rome, the land of Israel would have been easy prey for a takeover bid from any nation trying to gain more control in the region. But the Magi didn't seem to be all that bothered by Herod and the threat that he posed, even to them. They went on their way regardless of the danger, because for them, reaching this child, reaching Jesus, was more important than anything else. And they were prepared to face danger and take risks to find him. And when they found him, even though he's only a baby, or maybe times past he's a young child, they worship him and present him with gifts. Now, you may remember at Christmas I said a bit about this. There's a story not from the Christian tradition, though it was absorbed into the Christian tradition about 800 or so years ago, but that originated further over in the Middle East. That these wise men came with questions. Who was this child who had been born? And they'd argued on the way, who was this child? One said, a king, born to rule. Another said, a prophet, a messiah of God, born to bring God's kingdom. Another said, a healer, born to bring healing to the whole world. And so they took with them questions, a quiz, gifts to offer and to see how the child would respond. We'll give the child gold, and if the child accepts it, then they're definitely a king. No. We'll give them incense, and if they take that, they're a prophet of God. No. We'll give them myrrh, and if they accept that, we'll know that they're a healer. And the story goes that the wise men found this child whose identity was still veiled from them. And they presented their gifts, seeing which one the child would receive. And to their astonishment, the child took all three. And their questions they had come with were answered and yet not answered. And they returned with even greater questions. I like that because I used to do a bit of research years back. And the great thing about it was not so much what you found out, but the new questions, the better questions that it led you to, as it led you deeper into your understanding, in my case, of that particular science. I wonder, who do you relate to in the Christmas story? It has so many characters. I feel I relate closely to these Magi. Our call to search out God's truth, to work out who God is. Remember that question that Jesus asked his disciples? Who do the people say that I am? And then more importantly, who do you say that I am? For For people will come up with different answers. But the response that Jesus was interested in was, who do you say that I am? And like those magi, to use what skill and intellect and imagination I've got to ask good questions, to test out my faith. Not to find answers that I can entomb in stone and bow down to, but to find better questions that help me to search out God all the more. Knowing that in my search for God, I was found by God a long time ago, that I am held surely in God's loving and caring hands. It's that image of Jesus when he said later on in life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that statement, I am the way, is an invitation for us to walk with Jesus on our way and to make his way our way. That idea of the pilgrim journey, if you like. Seeking, walking with, following. Seeking after Jesus, following Jesus, means taking risks in life. It means embracing doubt and uncertainty that we may know him better. But once he's encountered, once we become part of his pilgrim journey and make him part of ours, we might have to take a different direction. One that is responsive to and obedient to God's call. And so as we move away from Christmas, and as we begin this new year with our own hopes and doubts and fears and uncertainties and whatever we may have at the beginning of another year, are you willing to seek him out? And if needs be, to be led in a different direction, like those wise men of old. Wise men, seek him still. Amen.